Blog Talk Radio.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothe yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
You don't have to let the devil rule over your life.
But he came, he died on the cross for your sins. And he's right there where you are now. All you gotta do is ask him to forgive you for all of your sins. And he's right there, just and able, to forgive you for all of your sins and blot out all of your transgressions. That's why he came. He came for you. He came to seek and save you. Why don't you accept it?
I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so glad that he came. Yes, I am. He came to seek and save the lost. That's the reason why his presence is there. That's the reason why the anointing is there. That's the reason why he's right there in your home, right there in your job, right there in your car, right there in that jail cell. He came to seek and save the lost. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I came to let you know today that that's why he came. Yes, he did. He came to seek and save the lost.
Good evening and welcome. You are listening to Victory Against All Odds right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is Monday, August the 20th, 2012. Thank each and every one of you for tuning in on this evening. Seems like it's been a long time. Took a two-week break, been traveling and been on the road. And I just want to say thank you again for joining me this evening. Please call someone, text someone, tweet someone, and let them know and encourage them to join us on the air on this evening right here on Blog Talk Radio. If this is your first time listening, Victory Against All Odds is a radio talk show for the family, where we will talk about some of the struggles and obstacles that families face as it relates to the issues of child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse. And we also discuss the residues that flows from these issues, so we get down into the root of things. So let's talk. Get your paper, get your pen, so you may write down important information, as well as some tools that I want to share with you on this evening. So let's get to the root on this evening. My email address is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Again, that's odds_against_U@yahoo.com. You can email me if you like, or if you so desire to contact me for prayer or a concern or issue that you may have, you may call my confidential voicemail system at 641-715-3900, extension 343-658#. Again, that's 641-715-3900, extension 343-658#. If you desire to sow a seed or write me, you can do so at Victory Against All Odds, P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina 27611. Again, I thank each and every one of you for joining me this evening. Those of you who are listening in Radio Land, thank you for joining me this evening. So let's talk. Grab your paper and your pen, and we're going into the trenches this evening. On last time, we spoke about forgive or not to forgive. And if you so desire, please go back. I encourage you to go back and listen to that episode. Obviously, it was an episode needed. Well over 2,500 people have listened to that episode along. Thank you very much for tuning in and just being a support and listening. Tonight, we're going to take on another route. We're going to go back into the root system, going back under the ground, pull up some more roots, and we're going to talk about bitterness. And we're going to talk about child abuse and bitterness and how those roots grow those unseen roots grow out of our child hurt, our child experiences that were not pleasant. And what I want to do is tie two things together, if you'll just allow me to flow here. I wanted to just talk about bitterness for just a moment, and then we're going to go back and pick up how that ties into our experiences and where we are now and how we are looking and where we're walking, and so I can give you some tools. So you're definitely going to need pen and paper, because I'm going to actually give you some tools, and we're going to tie in for my believing listeners who are believers. We're going to tie in some good scripture, and I'm going to show you something that's going to bless you on this evening. As you know, look, we're talking about bitterness, which is one of the deadly root that devours and it destroys. We know this. As we go to the book of Hebrews, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and therefore many be defiled. That's Hebrews 12:15. Thus says the Lord, God's word about the adverse results of bitterness, a very poisonous root that can defile your whole spirit and seriously hurt and defile you, as well as many others who are in your family line or that are attached to you. One reason that bitterness is so extremely dangerous is because it takes root and it begins to grow and spread, and spiritually contaminate and defiles your heart and your spirit before you even realize what has happened to you or whatever has gone wrong. We certainly don't want those roots to do this, but let's go a little bit deeper. Like the roots of most plants, let's apply this to everyday life. Little roots of resentment and bitterness usually lie below the surface, where they remain unseen. And this is what makes it so dangerous, because we don't see it. But they spread and they grow, growing deeper and deeper, just like plants. Such roots of bitterness will eventually eat away at your very heart and your spirit, until they will finally devour and destroy you spiritually, ultimately leaving you spiritually dead and virtually useless to the Lord. We cannot be useful in the kingdom of God or even in our everyday life. So I'm not only talking to believers, but I am talking to those who are not necessarily walking or have what they call a relationship with the Lord, or that you're just, you know, you're not in the church. So I'm talking to everyone, but I'm going to put a divide. I'm going to go down two streams, if you will just allow me. Bitterness is very much like there's a South African vine, and that vine is called Hatador. I'm sorry. Beginning at the foot of this particular vine, this tree, this root, this vine slowly works its way to the top. But as it grows, it kills the tree. And when it's at last the top it reaches, it sends forth a flower to crown it. Just like we plant flowers, the roots go down and the plant comes up. The flower buds, which is the top. That's the crown, if you will. Matador literally means killer. That word really means killer. Bitterness may appear harmless when it is small, but it is, if it allows to grow, its tendrils of resentment, malice, and hatred soon claps themselves around the heart and eventually kills the soul. So can you just imagine that eventually this kills the very essence of who you are, your very heart, your soul. So this is the surface part that we do see. This is the surface part. The roots grow down, but we get to see that flower, that root. We carry that out on the surface, and we certainly don't want that to happen. So this is why we're taking on another root called bitterness on this evening. This is why God's word exhorts us to let us know that to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's according to Ephesians 4 and 31. And that's what this lesson is really kind of all about. We know that there are horrible effects of bitterness. It hinders your relationship with the Lord and your service for him. But not only does it hinder your relationship with the Lord, it hinders your relationship with others in your life, your children, your marriage, on your job, your friendships, any relationship that you can define in your life that it hinders. It hinders it in a lot of ways. If you allow bitterness and resentment and critical spiritual to grow in your life, you will lose your anointing and your inspiration from the Lord. You can't keep complaining about and resenting your lot in life and criticizing and murmuring about the things that God or others have done to you and keep God's Holy Spirit on you at the same time. You just can't do that. We can't do that. For we know that the Lord dwells in the praise of his people, and he draws near to us when we draw near to him. How do we do that? That's by offering a sacrificial praise of God continuously. That is, quote unquote, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him in his name. Now, we know when we're mumbling and complaining, we've got bitterness. We always are looking at the other person, never figuring out, because it's an unseen thing, that it really is us. And so this is one of the reasons why I want to talk about this, because this gives us the opportunity to really take a hard look under the microscope at ourselves. Now it's not the time to look at others. We're getting ready to go there. We're getting ready I'm getting ready to shift you over to the other side in just a moment. But this is an opportunity to really look at how we operate, what we're doing, and really look at our relationships, especially if we're having a hard time keeping them. If we can't keep a job and we're always being fired or let go, if our friends are always leaving us or don't seem to call us back, or you're always having friction in relationships, we need to take a really hard look at why and be really honest with ourselves. And when we do that and we offer that thing back up to the Lord, then we're going somewhere. That's when we're going somewhere. We've got to be able to die to ourselves so that we can live again. And I don't mean to preach this evening. That is not what my intent was, but it just happened to flow that way. So let me go on. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11 and 6, if you don't accept the things that the Lord sends into your life, if you not only doubt and wonder about his treatment and care of you, but actually if you're murmuring and complaining and walking in resentment and you're rebelling against it, certainly this is not faith. And surely it displeases the Lord. And I'm going to pause right there. And I'm going to go over here, and I want to talk about those who have experienced, we've talked about child abuse. I'm not going to go over all of the definitions. You can do that if you go back and listen to some of the earlier broadcasts. You can get all of that information, but I want to just pull it all in as a nutshell. When we are vulnerable, when we are a child, we're vulnerable to the experiences of physical and emotional and sexual abuse and the hurt and the scars. We know that those things go deep. This is why we're talking about roots, because that hurt goes deep. When we allow it to go deep, guess what? It settles there and it spreads, just like roots do. If you ever had a big tree in your yard, and those roots spread, sometimes you look in your yard and you be like, my goodness, the roots go clean across the yard and begin to grow up. Sometimes they surface just a little bit so that you can see those roots and see how far they have stretched. That's not good. That's not good. That roots are the supplier of the tree. That's the source that brings that tree life, that flower, that plant life, is those roots. So when we've been victimized by a terrible wrong during our childhood, most vulnerable, instead of being protected or helped and comforted, you were abused. We were abused. I was abused. Or someone that you know was abused. Most likely you were abused by someone you should have truly trusted, someone that you thought was trustworthy, are usually the ones that are abusing a family member, a teacher, a neighbor, a coach, a pastor, a friend. So instead of these people protecting you, you were violated. So you were treated with malice. So now you were treated with malice. That's how it looks. Someone used you, they misused you, they took advantage of you. Now you're wondering if recovery is possible. I am here today to tell you that it is possible to recover. Absolutely able to recover. The simple answer is yes, of course, it is possible to recover. But you already know you can't just snap your fingers. We know that it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes things get worse before they get better. We know that. And you know that the past answers won't help you or haven't helped you thus far. Well, I come today to give you a little bit of help. Now, there are two important trusts that we must keep in mind. This is why I wanted you to get pen and paper. And I know I have listeners who love to just write and write things down. And I think everyone that is listening from the state of New York all the way over to California on this evening, North Carolina, Atlanta, you are not alone and there is hope. That is why I am here. I come to spread some hope this afternoon, this evening. Your recovery will be a process of learning and remembering those two truths. Not just once, but over and over and over again, we must remember the truth. Think about how bread gets made. It must be kneaded so that the yeast goes through the whole loaf. So these two truths must be kneaded into you, into who you are, until they begin to work for you and through every part of your being. So if you think about bread and kneading bread and it going through the whole loaf, so that bread is done. So is it that we need to just roll it over and just keep it in our hearts and just go over it and just always go back to the things that work. The working of the two truths into the deepest part of you takes time. I'm a witness. It does take time because the damage that you suffered may have been done in one or more terrible moment. The healing and the restoration unfolds at a human pace. So because we dwell in the earthen vessel, we know that we live here on earth and we live in time. So we know that it's going to take time for you to recover. It unfolds at your pace. So that means that you have control. So I am here to empower you so that you have now can take control over your healing, because we know that God has given us power and authority here on the earth, and we have control. Sometimes we miss it because we want God to do everything for us, and he told you to open your mouth and speak healing and deliverance to yourself. So I am here to empower you on this evening. It unfolds as part of your story, and it unfolds over time. Now, there are three broad categories of child abuse, and I'm just going to run through that. We know that there's verbal abuse, physical abuse, and sexual abuse. And if you were verbally abused, someone whose words should have been helpful and kind, instead they were demeaning and demeaned you and they insulted you. And if you were physically abused, someone, perhaps a parent or another authoritative figure, someone that you trusted, someone who was supposed to protect you, instead attacked you and they hurt you. And if you were sexually abused, someone used you and violated an intimate, innocent part of who you are. And I'm just kind of let that sink in right there for just a minute. However, if you were abused, what happened to you was evil. Okay? You were sinned against, and now you are suffering or have suffered. God is mindful of your suffering, and he hears your cry. He has heard your cry. He heard the cry of the child dying of thirst in the desert, like in Genesis 21:17-18. He heard the cries of the Israelites suffering as slaves. Exodus 2:23-24, and he hears our cry. He heard your cry. He hears the cry of those that you know, your relatives, you know, a child that you know, someone that you know. He hears their cry. He heard yours. God has much to say to those who have experienced evil at the hands of others. So he has much to say to us. He has much to say to you. We know that abuse feels like an experience that has been stamped, that has stamped you, and that those final words kind of formed what you thought was your identity. But the truth is that God gave you a different identity. He gave you a different identity. No matter what that terrible thing was that happened to you, that's not who you are. Your identity as God's child is far deeper than that person who abused you or that thing that you have suffered. And I want you to hear me real good this evening. And that's why I want you to get your pen and paper, because I'm going somewhere. When you come to God through trust, by trusting God, he gives you a new identity. You know, taking off the old man and putting on the new. You become part of the family of God. You are his dearly beloved child. So listen to what the Apostle John said about who you are, your identity. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. And I want to speak to those who are the unbelievers that may be listening in the background. You are loved by God. He loved you. He loves you. You are a child of God. You belong to the family of God. You were created to worship. 1 John 3:1, you have a perfect Father in heaven who loves you and wants to fill your life with the good gift of himself, which is in Luke 11:13. Because you are God's child, you are not alone in a nightmare of pointless suffering. You don't have to suffer for nothing. You don't have to suffer pointlessly. It's true that the heart knows its own bitterness. So we're talking about bitterness, Proverbs 14:10. And even your dearest friend can't fulfill understanding the terror, the aloneness, the pain, and the horror you experience. Your friend can't go there with you. They can hold your hand and help and pray you through, walk you through, be there as a listening ear. And we've talked about all of that. You can go back and listen to that. And I've given you your tools and your resources on how to get through and use your tools that you have within yourself. Those are tools that you have within yourself. That was the first tier. So you can go back and listen to those basic tools that work for anyone, no matter who you are or where you come from. We know that Jesus does understand, and he is always with you. Jesus experienced every form of suffering when he was in the world. He was despised, and he was rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, according to Isaiah 53:3. He was betrayed. He was tortured. He is well acquainted with your grief as well, and he will never leave you, nor he will forsake you. Okay, so where I'm trying to take you is to tell you and to remind you and to empower you with is that your experience, your story. Your story is much, much, much more bigger than the abuse that actually took place. Your story is bigger than that. Experiencing Jesus' presence and love will give you the courage to see that the story in your life is bigger than your suffering. So what happened to you is not the last word on who you are and where your life is going. It is not. That is a lie from the enemy. It's a significant part of your story, but it's not the most significant part of your story. It's only one part of the story of your life that Jesus is writing. So think about Joseph in the Bible in Genesis 39 through 45. Abuse and betrayal were also a big part of his story. So when he was a teenager, he was sold into slavery, we know this, by his brothers, and he became a slave in Egypt. Then he was falsely accused of rape by his master's wife, and he was thrown into prison. Right, so we're tying in abuse in the root of bitterness, and we talked about forgiveness on last week. So we're just adding another root here. So at the end of the story, we know that Joseph meets his brothers again, and instead of taking revenge, he says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." It says, as today. Guess what? That's a powerful word, as of today. Because today could be today. Today is tomorrow. Today is next week. Today is next year. Today is 2015. Today is 2016. So that is an awesome thing right there. So whatever your today is, hallelujah. Genesis 50, verse 20. God used the terrible betrayal that Joseph suffered to put him into a position where he could save his family from famine. So Joseph did not minimize what happened to him. And so oftentimes, that is exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Sometimes you hear it in the pulpit. And this is what bothers me, is they want you to bury it and minimize what happens to you. But that's where bitterness comes in. That's where unforgiveness comes in, because we hide it, we push it down, and if we go down, those are roots. We don't want to push it down. We try to pull it up and pull it out so that we can walk in freedom against all odds. That's what I'm talking about. So he acknowledged that his brother did evil to him, and that is what we need to do. But he had a wider perspective. The meaning of his story was bigger than the evil he suffered. God was at work bringing good out of an extreme betrayal. God is also at work in your life. Abuse is not the last word of your story. It certainly is not. God has purpose for you. He really does. So the abuse you suffered is part of the stage upon which your life choices will now take place. It's out of the choice you are facing right now that great good can come. So what we are getting ready to do is turn that thing that which was meant for evil and make it into good. And so I'm ready for you to just about get your pen and piece of paper, because I'm getting ready to show you how to do that. And oftentimes where the church misses, sometimes where we miss it is we tell people to just get over it. We tell them to just do it, but we don't teach them how to fish. We just give them fish, but we've never taught them how to fish. So that's exactly what I'm getting ready to do here. Okay, let's see here. All right, so that doesn't mean that you will forget the evils done to you, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that at all. If you think about Martin Luther King, he never forgot the evil of racism. It was the reason why he started the movement that changed our country. Absolutely. And then if we can, we can even go a little further than that. I'm not sure if you remember the lady, Candy Leitner. She didn't forget her 13-year-old daughter who was killed by a drunk driver. So I know that most of you, her daughter's death became impetus for the forming of the organization called MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. That's the organization that works to stop drunk driving. So she didn't forget. She just took what was evil and made something good out of it. And we've got to use the tools that we have. So you can also choose how to respond to the evil that was done unto you, your loved one, your kinfolk, your friend, your spouse. You can grow in gratitude. You can grow in joy. And you can have purpose and the ability to help others and live your life with courage and conscious intent. You certainly can. The Gospel of John closes with the verse, and it says something like this: and there are also many of other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the book that would it would be written in. So, and that's John 21 and 25. And so what am I saying? We can take those things that was meant for our evil and make it good. And so we see evidence here that everything that took place was not written in the Bible. It wasn't written. So there are some things that he just gave us what we needed to know, but there were some things that were untold because the book would not be able to contain it all. Your life is one of those books that John was talking about. It's continuing the story of what Jesus did. It's a story where terrible evil happened to you, but we know that Jesus showed up and he did something. He redeemed you and is still redeeming you so that you can still love, you can forgive, and do good to those who are around you, those people who meant you evil. You still can do good, and I'm getting ready to show you how. He redeemed you and is still redeeming you so that you can love and forgive and do good to those around you. Your story is not only about pain or betrayal. It's about Jesus taking what others meant for evil and redeeming it for what is a good. Now, you need your pen and your paper. Now, I'm going to give you some practical strategies for change. We're going to combine a whole lot of things here. We're going to take your story of whether that be, and even though I said child abuse, it could be domestic violence, it could be sexual abuse, it could be substance abuse, it could be depression, it could be PTSD, whatever that thing was that was meant to take you out, we can apply it here. So perhaps you think about your new identity. Remember, I told you, you have a new identity in Christ because you are what? You are God's child. And hear the testimony of others. You desire to move forward. So, but sometimes we feel stuck because we don't know what to do. And the reason why we don't know what to do is because we were ashamed. We were wrapped in guilt and we were wrapped in doubt and we were wrapped in fear. And we had all these different roots attached to us because we didn't want anybody to know that we had been wounded, that we had been scarred. And so now those roots, those scars ran deep. And so now you feel stuck because you don't know what to do because, first of all, you haven't even had an opportunity to talk about it. You just pretended to wear the mask, smile, knowing that on the inside, you were dying. Slow death. A painful death. And I am here to tell you today, we just won't tolerate that anymore. Today is a day of deliverance, a day of being set free, a day of no longer being stuck on Stuck Street or Unmovable Boulevard. We are going to walk in freedom on today, starting today. Some of you have already started. Some of you have not even begun. Some of you have not even opened your mouth to admit that there is something wrong, that something happened to you. Today, I want you to set yourself free and speak up, and we're going to lay a death blow to the enemy's camp and let them know that we are not a victim, but and we're not even going to be survivors. That is a start to become from a victim to a survivor. But the ultimate goal is to be more than a conqueror, to be an overcomer. And that's what we're here to do today. So here are some of the ways that those of us who have been abused as children sometimes struggle as adults. We getting ready to put all that underneath us. All right, so if you got your pencil and paper, let's talk about trusting others, because now we're adults and we're still struggling with trust issues. We know that it can feel impossible to trust anyone after your trust has been shattered by your childhood experiences. The other issue that we have as adults is having a healthy sexual relationship with your spouse. If you're sexually abused, sex for you has been maimed and twisted by darkness, and that was not the intent of God. It is supposed to be pleasurable between a man and a woman in marriage. Being filled with bitterness. We talked about bitterness earlier. Bitterness opens the doors to the enemy. How do you avoid being filled with bitterness when terrible evil has occurred? And how can you learn to forgive such a great wrong? Well, now you're ready to share. To willfully allow little roots of bitterness to grow in your life is like knowingly letting the devil in. Such discontentment and resentment and murmuring in your heart will grow and grow and grow and grow and begin to cover, affect everything around you. That's what bitterness does, which is why we've got to try to catch it at the very beginning before it takes root too deep, and we've got to root it out. And this is why the Lord tells us to never give place to the enemy, according to Ephesians 4:27. And that verse shows you that you can sometimes give the enemy place and give him room to operate and get in without necessarily being completely taken over or even possessed by him. But let me warn you this evening. He'll use whatever you let him get a hold of, so you are better off resisting and giving him no place. And where does he start? In your mind. In your mind. We have to close the access door. We have to turn off the tap. We have to close the flap in your mind that gives him place in your mind. Because if it was left up to him, you would be no good, I would be no good, we're just nothing, good for nothing. And that is absolutely not the truth. For we know that we were fearfully and wonderfully made, and we have purpose. We didn't just be born to merely exist. We have purpose here on the earth. We're not just here to live, to work, to have children, take care of family, and that's it. That's the end of the story. Absolutely not. But he gave us gifts. He gave us a purpose. And some of us are just here. We're in our 50s. We're in our 60s. And we don't even know who we are. But that we will not do that anymore. We need to know who we are. So beware of letting the enemy in through the little seeds and the tiny roots of jealousy, murmuring, and bitterness, so that he may try to sow in your heart. We don't want it to reside in your heart, because it starts in the mind and then it resides in your heart. And guess what? Once it resides in your heart, you begin to act that thing out. Now we're talking about the surface. Because remember, we talked about it was underneath the surface. It was under the ground. The roots, those are the roots. That's what you can't see. But once it settles in your mind, in your heart, you begin to act that thing out. That's the part that we do see. And then you are suffering the consequences for that root, whether it be the root of bitterness, unforgiveness, root spirit of fear, spirit of doubt, spirit of jealousy, spirit of hatred. Now it's on the surface. And see, when we operate in the spirit of bitterness and the roots of bitterness, it eventually affects you physically. I bet you didn't know that, and some of you probably do. So we know that there are all kinds of roots, little roots of bitterness, little roots of jealousy, little roots of resentment, little roots of hurt feelings, and they can get all pretty bitter, and they grow, and then they'll grow, and then they begin to eat on you within if you let them, until pretty soon they will crop out, I said out, in very obvious and even physical manifestations. So that means that the root, it took root, but then it began to grow. Well, it means it has to come through the dirt, and it has to make contact with the air. That means that we can now see that you know, it's like planting a seed, and we wait and we water that thing, and after a while, it's going to come up out the ground. Uh-oh, now what? So now here you are. You've let this root called bitterness grow. Now you're at the doctor's. Doctors have found that people who are bitter and have a lot of hatred in their heart have much more arthritis than those who are at peace. And that's where arthritis comes from. Similarly, those that discovered that those who have a lot of fear in their mind, worry, tension, and phobias, different types of fears, have a lot more mental trouble and more stomach problems, as well as more heart troubles. So we thank God that the elimination of fear by faith gives peace of our mind, and it rests in our stomach and in your heart, and actually eliminate various poisons from the blood, which causes us to have illnesses. In other words, your state of mind and your heart can actually poison your body. And I was talking to someone not too long ago at the university, and she, you know, a lot of times what we manifest in the physical is not really physical, it's a spiritual state. And it's manifesting in the physical because we have various different types of roots that we never cut and pulled up and pulled out. So now we're walking with arthritis, stomach problems, heart problems, blood problems, mind problems. I call them psych aches. And it all stems because we let roots grow undetected, and no one ever told us. No one ever said a thing. Bitterness will hurt and defile many others. We talked about that. So now I'm gonna go back over here. We're getting ready to bless you real good. All right. So we were talking about the things, some of the effects of those roots as adults. And I talked about being filled with bitterness. The next one is disciplining your children. How do you learn to discipline your children in love when you've been attacked by others or even your own parents or that caregiver or that person who was supposed to protect you? And then the other is dealing with any other kind of conflict or confrontation. So you might even have even more things to add to that list, but that was just like a few of them. If God is able to work in these areas in your life and change your automatic response to people in their situation, we know that he can, and he will change you, and not all at once, but gradually over your lifetime. So I have seen God do this many times, even in my life. That is part of my testimony. So that's why I get to be here today, and I thank God for that, because it's a process, and I am delivered because it took time, and I had to allow God to work on me, so that I don't flow in bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness. And if I know that he can do that for me, I know he can do it for you. And I am no better than you are. I am no better than you. So if he'll do it for me, then I know if you open up your heart and you just trust him and not reason, just give it to him. I promise you, as sure as my name is what it is, he can do it for you. I know that to be true. Okay, so facing your abuse might be the last thing you want to do. I can understand that. It is fearful because guess what? You're getting ready to open Pandora's box, and all those feelings that you suppress have to come up. It has to. We cannot keep it buried. Many of you have suffered through child abuse, are terrified of your memories. That was hard for me. I'm just being transparent this evening. They have only two ways to deal with their past. Either you cover it up over with denial and busyness, or you get stuck in your memories that are a black hole of terror and fear. You don't want to do either of those things. So perhaps you are working hard to stay in denial and keep your memories locked away. Doing this is like having lions in your bedroom closet. You can try to keep the lions in your past abuse caged in all different ways, some positive, hardworking, exercising, achieving, keeping busy, etc. I did all that. And some not so positive, you might use sex, food, alcohol, drugs to numb your pain, but that's not good. But in the end, guess what? The lion is too strong for whatever door you have erected in your mind is flooded with those memories. You relive your abuse and are again filled with fear, rage, anguish you experienced as a young child. But there is a third way. You can learn to hear God's promise and pour out your heart to God about your troubles in a purposeful way. The Psalms, the prayer book of God, people for thousands of years will help you do this. There are no Psalms that actually portray the explicit experience of being sinned against through your childhood abuse. But there are many that capture the experience of being abused, misused, used, and betrayed by others. So I want you to write these Psalms down. This is going to bless you real good. Psalms 55, Psalms 56, and Psalms 57. I want you to read these Psalms for the rest of the week. And I want to even challenge you to do it next week too. And I want you to make them your own story, your own personal story. You can rewrite these Psalms, I bet you didn't know this, and turn them into prayers that will express your heart, yours, to God and God's heart to you. So I'm going to give you an example. Psalms 55, 56, and 57, to express your own experience. Read through the three Psalms, and like I said, and just absorb that thing, own it. And how they express the experience of what abuse is. Okay, let me give you an example because I can hear you. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Psalm 55 was written out of the fire and of darkness of being betrayed by someone close, someone who should have been trustworthy. And in the middle of that psalm, David says that that he wasn't attacked by any overt enemy. It was his own companion, a familiar friend. That was 55 and 13. That closeness made the betrayal even worse. So perhaps that's somebody that's listening. Psalm 56. Psalm 56 is about someone who felt imprisoned by some person who hated him. He was trapped. He's tied down. He feels like he is locked in a closet. People want to kill him. People want to hurt him and torture him. And they have all the power and he has none. And does this describe your experience? Is it certainly describes mine once upon a time? Psalm 57 is about having a predator after you. David wrote it when he was hiding from his enemy in a cave. Those who wanted to kill him where he was waiting outside with an army, you might remember feeling that same way. Now it's time to come out of that cave and walk in freedom and victory. I am a testimony that against all odds, you can defeat the insurmountable mountains and valleys in your life. How do I know? Because Psalm 60 and 12 says, with God, we will gain victory, and he will trample down our enemies. Did you hear that? God will do it. Therefore, we do not have to seek revenge with our own hands or in our heart. God will fight our battle. We walk in victory. So as you read, notice that these Psalms are about more than the experience of betrayal, powerlessness, and fear. And in the middle of darkness of molestation, the darkness of violence, the darkness of hurt is the cry of faith. David is turning to his living, all-powerful God and accepting help and deliverance. He has hope. We talked about that. He has someone good and powerful to talk to. The same true is for you. The reality is that God hears you. He'll help you. He'll defend you. He will let you open the closet door of your abuse. He'll let you come out of silence. He'll let you come out of the aloneness and the stuckness and start to talk it out with him. You are not alone. David wrote these Psalms, and he went through an experience similar to yours. You are not alone. Jesus made those Psalms the voice of his own experience. Jesus said these words. He felt these things. He's been there with you. You are not alone. So here are a few tools I want to pass to you. Get your paper, get your pen. You're going to make these Psalms your own by rewriting them. So start by those four Psalms. You're going to get four markers. I want you to get four markers, and you're going to follow the four strands through those Psalms, strands that will help you express and redefine your experience. I want you to write. And those of you who are in the chat room, I've got 2 minutes left, 2 minutes and about 2:25. And I want you to hear this. I want you to dial in. I'm not going to open the mics, but I'll see you. I want you to dial in so that you can get the rest of this. And those that are listening on the radio land, if you'll just go ahead and dial in, I'm going to give you these few marks and we'll be done. The number is 818-572-2919. Again, it's 818-572-2919. I want you to dial in really, really quick here. Okay, so the first one that we want you to do, what happened to you? So take the first marker and underline all the phrases in the Psalms that express the sort of things that happened to you as a child. Here's the first one. When you find a phrase like the snares of the wicked, they bring down suffering upon me, or my companions text his friends, that's in Psalms 55 and 3, and then verse 20. Men hotly pursue me. All day long they press their attack. Many are attacking me. They conspire. They lurk. They watch my steps. Psalms 56, 1, 2, and 6. They spread a net for my feet. They dug a pit in my path. That's Psalms 57 and 6. What does it feel like? Okay, it's the next one. Now, take that second marker, whatever color that may be, and underline all the phrases that express how you felt, your anguish, your fear, your terror. Look at the phrases like, I am distraught. My heart is in anguish with me. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me, I said. Oh, what I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. That's Psalm 55, 2, 4 through 6. When I was afraid, my lament, my tears. That's Psalms 56, 3 and 8. I am in the middle of the lions. I was bowed down in my distress. That's Psalm 57, 4, and 6. Okay. So what it is said about God, use the third marker to underline what the Psalm said about God and what he is doing. So for those of you that are in the chat room, if you don't want to call in, you can listen to the archive. Use the third marker to underline what the Psalm says about God and what he is doing. Start with some of the phrases like, the Lord saves me. He hears my cry. He ransoms me unharmed. He will sustain you. Psalm 55, 16 through 18, and then verse 22. For you have delivered my soul from death, my feet from stumbling. Psalm 56 and 13. He sends me from heaven and saves me. Rebuke those who hotly pursue me. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Psalms 3 and 10. What does faith say? Faith says, what does faith say? So use the fourth marker to underline all the phrases that cry out of faith. Thank you for listening to those out there in the radio land, or either call. If you didn't call in, you're not going to be able to get in. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. But as for me, I trust in you. That's Psalms 55, 1, verse 2, verse 16, and verse 23. Be merciful to me, O God, when I am afraid. I will trust in you. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Record my lament. Lift my tears on your scroll. God is for me. That's Psalm 56, verses 1, 3, 4, 8, and 9. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wing until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. That's Psalms 57, 1 and 2, and verse 7. Praise God. So you take those ones that I just called out, and you use them for your experience, and you put your name there, and you write your story. And you use the scriptures to write your story. Amen. Amen. We just praise God on this evening. For those that were in the chat room, I need a moderator. I really do. I need someone to help me moderate this chat room. My goodness. Give me a moment here to talk to those in the chat room. Okay, so like I was saying, bitterness will hurt you and defile many others. So I just gave you some tools to help you and to strengthen you so that you can pull out the roots of bitterness. People who are discontent and murmur and resent and criticize are usually never satisfied unless they can persuade others of their own opinion. So misery loves company is what I'm really saying, and they love to have others, people agree with them, and it's sad to say it usually is easily to find those type of people. Belly aching, murmuring, and complaining is very common ailment of the human race, and sometimes that is very easy to fall into because we are unaware of what really is going on because we can't see, or we're not discerning enough, or we're not healed. But from God's point of view, it is a sin that is absolutely intolerable. We shall not murmur, we shall not complain. Just read the story of the wandering children of Israel, and you'll see how he let millions of people rot. I said rot, in the Sinaitic desert for their murmuring and their complaining, and they never got into the promised land. That was Numbers 32:11-13, because of their murmuring and complaining. We do not want to operate in the spirit of bitterness, and that is my story. I'm sticking to it. Bitterness and murmuring and complaint, bitterness and murmuring are very infectious. It's a very infectious spiritual disease. It's diabolical. And it can spread and poison often others very quickly if it's left unchecked. So one bad apple does spoil the whole bunch very fast. The Bible warns us, know ye not that the little leaven leavens the whole lump. So we need to purge out, therefore, those old leavens that they that ye may be a new lump. That's 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. Just like a tiny pinch of yeast will spread throughout an entire lump of dough and cause that whole thing to rise. People who are permeated with bitterness are a real burden and a real downer influence. And they drag everybody else down that they can, pulling everybody else's spirit down. So they're always dwelling on the negative and always criticizing and they're always complaining. And we certainly, certainly do not want to be named among them. So I say to you this evening that you walk in the spirit of love and truth and operate in the spirit, the fruit of the spirit of patience and having long suffering and joy and patience and kindness and meekness. And we certainly do not want to be operating in the spirit of bitterness, and we're pulling up those roots. These are roots coming from those things that we suffered as children, whether it be child abuse or physical abuse or verbal abuse or, you know, whatever we suffered, we do not have to suffer anymore. But we can walk in the fullness of what God created us to be, what you were destined to be. And if you're not a believer, to you, you still do not have to suffer and walk and be locked down with those roots of being bitter and angry and mad and resentful. And walking in the spirit of hatred. We do not have to go down that road. And when we allow that root to grow, then we only set up ourselves to have the other roots to take root with us. And what I mean by that is, if we operate because of our hurt, let me say it this way, and this deep scar, there are most likely other types of roots. And so I wanted to lay a death blow to the kingdom of darkness and to those of you who can't quite figure out why things are the way they are. Let's just expose some of these roots, so that you can identify those roots that may be attached to you or someone that you know, so that we can begin to pull them up. So we certainly don't want this evening to be operating in the roots of anger, jealousy, irritating behavior, habits, lusting, mad, madness, malice, murder, offending, pouting, provoking to wrath, quarrelsome, rage, destructive, engaging. Enrage. We don't want roots of rebellion, repulsiveness, resentment, retaliation, revenge, rough, sassy, self-abuse, accusations, blame. We don't want roots of condemnation, guilt, criticism, destruction. We don't want roots of infliction, punishment, torture, a sharp tongue, being spiteful, being strifeful, strong-willed, struggling. We don't want roots of suicide. We don't want roots of a temper tantrum or torture or troubled or torn relationships or vicious or being violent, a warring spirit. We don't want roots of being a wild child, walking in unforgiveness or being ugly or walking in the spirit of ugliness or having an unbridled tongue, meaning we have no control of that untamed tongue. Or being an uncontrollable child, or unruly child, or being an uncooperative adult. Because guess what? That unruly child, that wild child, that small child grows up to be an adult who's uncooperative. And that's mad. And that's resentful. So on today, we want to cast down the spirit of bitterness, because a lot of times when we're bitter, we also walking in the root of being rejected. And so we're going to talk about being feeling of being rejected at some other time. And so I thank each and every one of you for listening on this evening. I know we ran over and we recorded time, so those that are in radio land will have to certainly, if they're not able to listen, I know they've made some upgrades, be able to go back. And so those things that I've named, you'll be able to go back to the archive, which will be in about 15 minutes. You can go back and listen, and you can pick up all those points that I just named and write them out. So I thank each and every one of you for joining me this evening. And I do have just one announcement I wanted to make on behalf of Victory Against All Odds. In the coming weeks and months, I am going to be participating, because we know that this is an election year. We're going to do a live event where we're going to make sure that people are registered to vote. I will be giving you more details in terms of that announcement as time grows near and I get things set in order. But we are going to get ready to go back out into the community, and we're going to get people registered to vote, because the last day to register is October the 12th. And early voting starts on October the 18th. Through November the 3rd. So we're getting ready to go into community. I will give you announcements. I'm probably going to go several places, and we're going to make sure that everybody is registered to vote that is able and eligible to vote. So that is my civic duty during this election year, is to just get folks to vote. And it's a nonpartisan vote. I'm not my only interest is to get them registered to vote. And the rest of it, I leave up to them. My job is to make sure that you operate in your civic duty to vote and get you prepared to do that. So in the coming months, coming weeks, we are going to go back into the community, and we are going to get people registered to vote. So keep your eyes and your ears open. Make sure that wherever you may be, whether it's New York or Iowa or Alabama or Mississippi or California or New York or Florida, that you are registered to vote. Be blessed, each and every one of you. Thank you for listening. And I hope that you have gained something this evening, and that you are empowered, that you take what you have learned and you apply it to your life or to the life of one that you love, and that we walk in victory. Our goal is to walk in victory against all odds. Thank you again for listening as we go out with song. Let's see, what song are we going to play?
Just open your mouth and just begin to whisper something to him. Tell him how much you love him. Come on, tell him, tell him. Tell him. Come on, you tell him. I want to hear you tell him. Oh God, if you don't ever do anything else, you've already done enough. You've done so much for me until I'm behind in my worship. All the praise that's due your name. My God. And so today, I want to take this moment. Lord, we give you all our praise. It's the praise that's due your name. And we magnify you. When we say that you're holy, that's how we magnify you. When we call you holy and tell you that we worship you. Does anybody ever feel like that tonight? Anybody in here feel like that tonight? Lord, we give you all the praise. Because that's the praise that's due your name. And the only way you can really magnify it is tell him that he's holy. Why do you say holy? Because when you cry holy, no demon can stand in your presence. When you tell him how holy he is, every shackle has to break off of your life. Every spirit of torment has to come off of your mind. We worship you, Almighty One. Come on, just open up your mouth and just begin to worship him. You ain't got to sing the song. Just begin to tell him how wonderful he is.
God bless you.